This is the Brandt and Sherry podcast, sponsored by Metashare. For more info about the show or about Brandt's book, Unoffendable, check out BrantHanson.com.
Time for a new feature on the show that I have not cleared with my producer, but here we go. It's Uncle Brandt's story time, where I tell a story.
For children?
For everybody.
Oh, for everyone. Okay.
Last night, my wife and I were at dinner with Sherry and her mom, Bev.
Mm-hmm.
And they had these hush puppies that are really good. Those are little balls of dough that are fried up.
Mm-hmm.
And I tasted them. I'm like, oh, this is really good. Okay. So I asked for some more. And they said, sure, we'll be right back. And time went by. And they didn't bring any hush puppies. And so there was a new lady that walked by mm-hmm. to get something. I was like, hey, can we get some more hush puppies? She's like, sure. Yeah, we'll be right back with some.
Uh-huh.
And they didn't come back with any. And then like a third lady came by.
Where is this?
And I said, can you guys get me some hush puppies? And she said, yeah. Yeah. And she walked off.
Okay.
And then the original lady came back and I said, this is over the course of about an hour. I said, hey, I would love these hush puppies. Really good. She said, yeah, we're making some right now for you.
Mm-hmm.
We're making some hush puppies. And another 20 minutes went by and I said to the lady, a different lady,
right,
can I get some hush puppies? And she said, now Sherry was there, and she said,
yeah.
We're not making any. We don't want to. And that's how it ended. They were fibbing the whole time about the hush puppies, and I didn't get any.
So in this story, is there a moral, or is there a tie-up or something to it?
The moral is, if you're going to promise me something, then make them. Make the hush puppies. And then,
okay.
Or just be up front and go, we don't feel like it.
Right. You're not getting any
more
tonight.
I was saving the room. I was like, this is going to be good all evening long. I'm listening to Sherry talk. Her mom, they're great, but the whole time I'm thinking about
hush puppies.
And then they weren't even making them, actually.
Greetings to you. Especially if you are new to the show, we welcome you to this program. Here's the thing that you should know about it. If you hate it right now, you can. I mean, you always have the option to call the station and complain.
Right.
But that's okay. Go ahead and do that if you want. But after you get off the phone... Here's my thing. Give us a little bit more of a chance. And because a lot of people have found, I'm telling you this out of experience. What in the world? I didn't even press a button. I literally didn't press a button.
This is not going to help with people.
No, it's not.
Because they're not used to a radio show where music shows up out of nowhere.
I literally didn't hit the button.
I know.
I saw
you didn't. Yes, I saw.
Okay. Hang on a second. That is weird. Anyway, as I was saying.
If you hate the show.
You hate the show. You'll get a lot of times people will work through it and they'll get over it. And they'll realize, okay, so they're doing something different. We're going to be ourselves, and not that other people don't. But what am I trying to say?
I think the music just threw you off. Maybe
totally
we should just
did.
Reset.
Look, I guess what I'm trying to say is, all right, we know we're amateur. We got it. We already know that. So you're not saying anything that we don't already know.
Not news to us.
But. Are you willing to have amateurs as friends?
That's
what we're looking for.
Okay, there you
that's
go.
That's what I was driving for
right.
with all of that. This guy is a total genius. Think about this. When you have leaves on your lawn, you rake them, throw them away, right? Put them in the bag, whatever, burn them if you can, or I don't know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
This guy is taking his leaves and he's selling them, like a handful of leaves for $20 a piece.
To whom?
Well, he'll mail them. He's in New England. So he'll mail them to people around the country. Like, look at these beautiful leaves. And they want fall foliage to decorate their houses.
But
he's making $19.99. It's a handful of leaves, stuffed in an envelope. And he's had hundreds of orders.
He's had hundreds of orders?
Because people are like, oh, real leaves.
Who's? I don't even know what to do with this.
I don't know what to do with anything in our culture. All I recognize is genius. Because he's taking, like, we're throwing them away. He's like, no, 20 bucks a handful.
But,
and people are sending cash.
Cash money. Give me your leaves. I've raked my own and threw them away, but I'd like yours for
$20. Oh, he's got leaves for sale. I want in on this. You name your price, sir. Those are good-looking leaves. This guy has a website. It's talking about how genius this is. He's a total genius. He's sending three leaves. He lives in the Boston area. People who want, like, colorful leaves, he'll pick them up off the ground. And it's $20. And people were doing it like crazy. I thought it was more than that. It's just three leaves.
Okay.
For $20, hundreds. It's on, it's ship, like shipping, shipfoliage.com is his website. You actually look at this.
And you're going to go and get, now, ideally, or all of us have leaves, most people, right?
Yeah, but these are genuine Massachusetts leaves.
With difference in other state leaves,
them
how?
He ties them with a little string.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. It's just, it's nothing decorative at all. It's actually literally three leaves from the ground.
A red one, an orange one, and a yellow one.
And it's like a shoestring around it.
He'll take credit cards or PayPal, and he's getting hundreds of orders. That guy is awesome. That guy is just plain genius. Pretty excited about this news headline. And I think you will be too. Scientists at Cambridge University have developed a robot that effectively builds other robots that do are smarter than the original robot. And those robots can build other robots. This is an actual news headline.
Mm-hmm.
I am really excited about this.
What would be the point? Like, what are we going to do? They're just going to keep building each other? Like, what is the benefit to just us as general people?
Just because robots can do a lot of helpful things, and I think...
But these robots aren't. They're just building more and more robots.
Look, there's nothing that can go wrong here. Just trust that they have our best interests at heart.
Okay.
And as they multiply exponentially around the world...
Sure.
The important thing is that we be friends with them.
Okay, all right.
Or
that
else.
Hasn't worked out in any movie I've seen.
No,
but
this is real life, and I think it's going to be good. Just let's be more optimistic about this particular robot takeover.
Okay.
Guy actually tweeted this, and he's got a ton, like hundreds of thousands of Twitter followers. He's a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what he wrote. He wrote, "Jesus bled and died for us so that we can lay claim to the promise of financial prosperity." That was his actual tweet. So Jesus bled and died so that we could have lot of money.
Some money.
It's wrong on a number of levels, my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty sure about my opinion on this.
Not sure much, but pretty sure about this one.
IMHO. But here's the thing. Like, the people who have lots of money, a lot of times they're like, what's the point?
Mm-hmm.
I just saw a quote from Jim Carrey about this. I think we talked about it on the show where he said, I wish everybody could get all the money they want so they could realize it doesn't work.
Yeah, there's a sense of despair there.
Uh-huh, when you get it all. And to think that Jesus, like if that was the end goal, is he wants me to be rich. That's why he bled and died. He shed his blood so that I could be rich. And then the rich thing doesn't work?
Mm.
Really? Or is God deeper and wiser than that? And then there's a joy that extends regardless of where you are. This is the man, by the way, who before he bled and died said, happy are the poor in spirit. And there's something so good about the gospel that you don't have to be rich, you don't have to be poor, you don't have to be anything but humble and say, God, I need you, and he will answer your cry. Yeah, if you've listened to the show for very long at all, you know I love robots, and I'm excited about this robot that builds other robots, and they build other robots.
You don't see any issue with robots duplicating themselves in a mass fashion.
People have stereotypes about people, and people have stereotypes about robots.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times it's media-driven, because, these giant transforming robots trying to take over the universe or whatever.
Like, that's all we've ever seen.
No, we haven't.
Okay.
Your laundry machines, your washing machine is technically a robot.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Does it talk to you?
It doesn't. See, there's another stereotype. This is what we need to work through.
Okay.
As a people.
All right. So this show is about robot education.
Yeah.
Okay.
We need to have, like, that needs to be part of a diversity.
Okay. Robot tolerance.
Discussion. Yeah. Just quit lumping them in. Or maybe they'll just go, we're not going to do your clothes anymore. Okay. Forget it. I wouldn't blame them. The Martian was the number one movie at the box office over this last weekend. It's really just killing. I read the book. I finished it. Haven't seen the movie yet. Something that blows me away about this movie and Castaway. Because this guy is stranded on Mars by himself. Mm-hmm. I love the science of it. I love the sci-fi. Castaway is really interesting. Like, are you telling me if you were stranded by yourself for years, or at least months and months and months, that you wouldn't wonder about God? There would be no discussion of God? Well, that's irrational. We live in a rational age. Really? So we talk to a volleyball instead. Because that's what he did in Castaway. I find that to be hard to believe, that you wouldn't, at least, even if you're an atheist, because I see atheists all the time and hear them reacting to God all the time, reacting to people who believe. You wouldn't have some thoughts that you would record. In Robinson Crusoe, there's a lot about God, but that's written in a different era, when somebody who was stranded by himself would naturally be like, God, get me out of here. Even if you didn't believe easily, wouldn't you, like, God, if you're real, help me get off this planet? I mean, I just find that really interesting. Never even a discussion. Doesn't even come up. That's, you try to get all the science realistic, and then you forget what humans are actually like. If you ever want to call, by the way, it's 855-90-BRANT. I have taken the time and effort to memorize the phone number.
Yeah, and it has been effort.
It's been months.
Yeah.
But I just nail it. And if I'm willing to do that, you should be willing to call. If you ever have any, you know, comment or content you want to add to the show, you're right ahead.
We love hearing it.
And you're like, well, I don't have anything smart to say. Doesn't stop us, does it?
We're here every day.
Mm-hmm. So don't be intimidated at all. 855-90-BRANT. All new feature. Pretty excited about this. And it's going to be so cool. It's called the Honesty Cafe. And this is where we're in an awesome diner. Here. There's got some diner SFX. And we're in an awesome diner. And we will talk with one of our listeners, maybe you, if you want. And we'll ask you a real good question that's a personal. You just have to be honest. It's the Honesty Cafe.
I'm amazed, as the producer of this show, how little control I have.
It is awesome.
Like none. No control at all.
It is awesome. And in this diner, it's really beautiful. They serve burnt toast. It's great. And coffee. And also, they have monkey waiters that wait on us.
Who would want monkey waiters waiting on you?
They're doing a great job.
That's not...
They're letting each other know about they have a need at table four.
What?
Or... clean stuff.
Why do we need that? Why can't we just ask listeners questions?
It's going to be a great show. Okay. And the thing is, with this feature, is you have to be honest. That's all we're saying. That way we can get to know you. But it's going
to
be...
I'm on board for getting to know the listeners. It's the monkey waiters and the cafe and the burnt toast that I think we could probably do without.
It's the Honesty Cafe with monkey waiters and burnt toast. And it's going to be good. Coming up. Rachel, you're our first person in the Honesty Cafe.
Okay.
So, welcome to this awesome diner. Do you like it?
Yeah, it's great. It looks a lot like my room.
Yeah, it does.
We did that on purpose.
I didn't know that you had waiter monkeys in your room, because that's what we have here. And this awesome diner serving us, which is pretty cool. So, but here's my question for you. When do you feel dumbest? Just be honest.
When do I feel dumbest?
Yeah.
When I think I get a joke, and then I find out I don't. And then they have to explain it to me, and I still don't get it. So then you go down the trail, and, like, the deeper you get, the worse. You realize how much you didn't get it.
And then you've drained the humor out of it for everybody, too.
And there's just no coming back from that.
There isn't. No, not when you initially laughed. And then you're like, wait, but what?
But
what is that?
If you ever hear us talking about Jesus on the show and how he turns everything upside down, and you're like, what do you mean turning everything upside down? Here's what I'm talking about. Like, in our culture, we know this, the people we tend to put on a pedestal are the powerful or the aggressive, even the arrogant, the people who have a lot of money, the people who do things their way because they've got the power to do it. Celebrities, big shots. So that's our culture. Okay, so be it. Jesus comes along. In fact, that's pretty much the culture in every culture. Jesus is in one of those cultures where the people who are educated, powerful, rich, whatever, have what everybody thinks they want to be happy. And he comes along and he says, happy are the poor in spirit. Happy are the meek. Happy are the people who are merciful. And he goes down this whole list. Happy are those who mourn. Who would have thought that? We're all about avoiding that kind of stuff. Happier people who are persecuted for my sake, he says. He goes down this whole list and redefines what makes a person happy. And a lot of people don't want to accept it, but that is what he did. And the thing is, if I'm going to follow him, I have to buy into that. I have to go, wait a second, the stuff we're chasing after, it won't work. Jesus turned things upside down. Here's another way he did it, if you don't mind me saying this, because he said this first, basically. We're all like, oh, I love my family. I love my friends. I'm loving. And Jesus effectively says, oh, big deal. And he means it. Everybody loves their family and friends. I mean, the bare minimum, like, yeah, you love the people who do something in return for you. They give you good feelings. How about somebody who gives you no good feelings? How about somebody who drives you crazy? Can you love that person? How about somebody who seems like they're out to get you? That would be your enemy. Like, love them. Jesus says, what's the big deal about loving people you already like? Try it with people you don't. And now we're talking about something supernatural. Sally, what's up?
You know, I want to know, how did you two meet? Because you have such incredible, hilarious chemistry together. And just like you've been friends forever, but I know that obviously has not probably been the case. So how did you two meet?
Well, the truth is, off the air, I have nothing to do with this woman. I am not interested. This is all...
It's all trumped up.
No.
It's all trumped up.
You know what? It sounds boring, but I think God works through boring things sometimes, too.
Absolutely.
We had a job available. She applied for it. She was in a desperate situation that she wanted out of, and she was praying on her end, and we were praying on our end, and could not have been, and this is, what, 2-3 years into it?
Mm-hmm.
I still think, like, could not design a better fit for what I do. And that's looking at it from my angle. From my angle, like, I could not, on paper, write down, I couldn't write a 10,000-word essay and say, God, I want you to give me a person like this, and improve on who she is.
Oh, thank you.
The whole
That's
thing.
That's awesome.
It really is, but it's one of those things where I can't take any credit for that. Like, that is an amazing work, an answer to prayer, a desperate prayer. God, please give me somebody at work that will understand what I'm trying to do. Because we're trying to talk about Jesus in a certain way, and I want to have joy.
Sure.
Yeah, all this stuff, I want to have joy in it, and there's not that many people that get that. Sally is on the phone. She was asking us how the show started, like how we got together on the show. And it's funny, Sally, because Sherry was convinced she was not going to get this job, no matter what.
No, Sally, listen to me seriously. I never in a million years thought I was going to get it. I filled it out. When they kept calling me back, I thought this is some, honest to goodness, I thought, well, this is some equal
employment. Yeah, she thought it was an EEOC thing.
Yeah, I thought, I just want to say, we tried to get an African-American in here, so I thought that's what it is, and it's not going to work. And he can even tell you, when we did the Skype interview, he said it looked like I didn't care.
Yeah, she didn't care.
Because I didn't.
It was like, that intrigued me. I'm like, not only is she not nervous, she could care less.
I feel like I can relate to that.
Exactly. I like that.
Yeah, it's all God. Yes. It really is. It's all God. Our families are dear
That's
friends.
Cool.
And
my wife not only loves Sherry dearly, she loves Sherry's family.
Yeah.
I mean, how awesome is that? Thankful to MediShare for sponsoring our podcast. We appreciate them a lot. When you hear the website, they've got a website set up, and it's biblicalhealthcare.com. You may think, okay, what's the Bible's healthcare plan? They're referring to this because it's about sharing each other's burdens, and that's how the church is supposed to operate. It's a group of believers who share each other's healthcare costs. It's a beautiful thing. If you're interested in this, it's growing like crazy because it's an alternative to health insurance, and it could save you hundreds of dollars a month. So if you're interested at all you have to do is go online, go to biblicalhealthcare.com. It'll explain everything, and you'll see people talking about it. If it sounds confusing, it's way less confusing, frankly, than health insurance.
It is. And when I walked through the process of joining, they took me through what my current plan was. And there's stuff, he's like, no, you know that you pay for this and you pay for that. He was talking about the current plan that I had before I joined MediShare. And I was like, no, I don't pay for that. And he's like, look on the paper in this column. Yes, you do. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I really do. I have no idea. We don't know what's going on with healthcare.
It's
Who knows?
So I've sat in the HR meetings where they try to explain, here's our healthcare plan.
Yeah.
I'm like, I leave after 2 hours just like, where am I? Who am I?
2 hours.
Why am I here? I don't get it. Anyway, it's biblicalhealthcare.com. That's to help answer your questions. Or you can call 855-772-5699. You may have noticed something. I have. Hard to control other people. It really is. Believe me, I'd like to. I have this dream of having an army of robots that do my bidding. And until that happens, I wouldn't mind having my own army of people, or just people just do what I want. quit acting that way, quit being that way, quit saying that, quit, I'd like to control people. I'd like everybody to know God. It's not all bad on my part. It's not just control issues. Like, it's for their own good. You know what? Can't control people. Can't. Not the guy in the car next to you. Not the people at work. Not your own kids, if you got kids. Not your teachers. You know what? I even have a hard time controlling myself. Here's the thing. Life gets a lot better if you just trust God with people. He's the one. And I just need to be faithful with loving people who come across my path. That's it. It gets a lot better, a lot more restful. And boy, a lot less frustrating because it doesn't even work. The control thing doesn't even work, not even with me. Trying to control people, and we all wish we could at different times. And I really sponsor the idea that you should just give up. And
that's the best way. That's the pathway to peace. I'm convinced of it because I'm not necessarily an anxious person, but I any anxiety that I feel, I traced it back to not being able to control people, not being able to control an outcome.
Uh-huh.
And I realized that even any change that has happened in my life, Brant, that God has done in me, He has done it. I have not, you know, oh, my moral fiber, I'm going to get in there and I'm going to pull myself up by my bootstraps. Uh-huh. God has done it. And so if He has done it for me, He will do it for others. I just have to be faithful to love them and trust Him.
Yeah, that's all you got. It's the only card you can play. The other cards are imaginary. They're like, well, I'll force this person to believe this way. Like
it
this.
Doesn't work.
Nope.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. The Brant and Sherry podcast is sponsored by MediShare. To find out more about MediShare, call 855-772-5699.